Live from the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
And a very good Tuesday to you if you're just joining us. The big three headlines this morning: Len, Brett Kavanaugh takes his rightful place as the ninth justice of the United States Supreme Court today. He's been measured for the robes. Did a little ceremony at the White House last night. And the Democratic smear campaign failed. Also in the big three, that limo driver in upstate New York should never have been on the road. And that car flunked a lot of safety inspections. 20 people are dead because of that. And rounding out the big three, well, the Yankees did not do so well against the Red Sox, getting clobbered last night. And how many more games do they have to go there, Len?
Well, if the Red Sox win tonight, the series is over. So Boston leads 2-1. It's a best of five, which if you're scoring at home, you Columbia graduate, you have to win 3 games. And so they're going to... No, you're not scoring at home. So
what do you mean by that?
I don't know what I mean by that. So so the Yankees obviously need to win tonight with CC Sabathia on the mound. But last night's... That was record-setting. The Yankees, in their history, they played a ton of postseason games. Never have they been shellacked by such a lopsided score. So
absolutely. So, hey, on the Kavanaugh front, I was just
What was that evil laugh of yours? But you two, I wasn't here yesterday. I heard the two of you were doing a conga line, you know, around the studio. Ha-ha! The Republicans won. The Democrats lost.
Well, here's something that's going to totally drive you around the bend. Now, if you watch the swearing-in ceremony, the Supreme Court justices were there.
Sure.
Did you see Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
I did not.
She was not sleeping. She was expiring. Trump is going to have another opportunity to appoint another. No way. No. He's going to appoint another Supreme Court justice. And oh my God, you Democrats are going to go out of
Well, you know what's going to happen.
Minds.
You know what's going to happen.
What?
Once there will come a point in time when the Democrats will have control. I don't know when that is. It could be 10 years from now, it could be 6 years from now.
They're going to pack the court. That's what they're going to do.
2 years from now. They'll not only pack the court, they'll expand the court. There's no law that says the Supreme Court has to have 9 members. They'll expand it to 11 or 13, so they have the majority. And this will go tit for tat because they did away with the nuclear option.
Just a little point here, packing and expanding the court, same thing.
No, it's not.
Yes,
Roosevelt was accused. Would be sticking a lot of Democrats on the
court.
You
have to expand. Well, they're not going to expand it and stick a lot of Republicans on the court, you idiot.
No, it's two different things. Packing and expansion are two different things.
Roosevelt tried to pack the court. That's what he did back in the 1930s.
By the way, I thought Clarence Thomas looked like he was sleeping during that thing yesterday. So
he's
don't
stoic.
Pick on Ruth Bader.
Clarence Thomas is stoic. And he was empathetic to what Brett Kavanaugh went through because he went through it too.
So now we have two guys accused of sexual misconduct on the Supreme Court. This is a great court. You guys must be so proud.
Accused, Len.
Total hoax, right?
Accused.
President said it was a total hoax.
No evidence. Yeah. Smeared. Smeared by Democrats.
But you could be accused of something too. And you want that to go travel with you the rest of your life, Len? If you're accused and it's not proven for the rest of your life, you're accused?
Well, are you in your heart of hearts sure that there was a complete investigation here?
Oh, stop.
I am sure that there's no evidence. Where's the evidence?
I'll tell you, Susan Collins went through it for 5 hours, okay? And she concluded that there was no evidence. Now, we don't know what was in that report, but I'll bet you this was the clincher. I'll lay a 10-1 this was the clincher. That Mark Judge, the key witness, came out and said this did not happen.
If he said it didn't happen, it didn't happen.
He might have
happen.
Said it doesn't remember. All right, fine. You want to parse it, fine.
Parse it. All right, now we're joined by our good friend Alex Castellanos, ABC News political analyst. Good morning to you, Alex.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Alex, I want to ask you, I watched the swearing-in of Brett Kavanaugh and little old Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She looks like not sleeping but expiring. Are the Democrats going to go completely insane if Trump has a chance at another conservative justice?
Oh, I think completely insane is a milestone we hit last week. I think they'll stay completely insane. And yes, this is now the motivating force for the Democratic Party to keep Trump justices off the Supreme Court. It would drag women back to the Stone Age. But Republicans got a lot out of last week, too. For the first time, they have a message, and that's that it's not about tax cuts and losing your tax cut or the economy going backwards. It's not about issues. It's, hey, do you want mob rule and violence to dominate Washington? Do you want to make Washington even worse? That's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm. Alex, well, you bring up a great point. Now, that led to my next question, because both sides are claiming that this will be a motivating tool for the midterms, which are less than a month away. So which side do you really think it motivates more?
Well, I think Democrats have been motivated. They're going to stay motivated. You know, Democratic women are on fire. You can't set fire on fire. They can't get any more motivated. So I don't know that it helps Democrats as much. It'll help them maintain their intensity. But Republicans were cool. They didn't have anything to get them out to the polls. Hey, go reelect the swamp. It wasn't working. And now they do. Now they have something to inspire them. Their problem is they won. And success is uniformly fatal in Washington. You know, we all survive failure. We get up, try again. We're angry. We go out and vote. But success makes people complacent, and that's going to actually hurt Republicans a little bit.
I see Trump now going into suburbs, which not too long ago, a lot of the analysts were saying, oh, he's got no chance there. He's going to places now which people were writing off.
Mistake.
Really?
Don't do it. Stay home. Go to red states. The suburban vote is still dominated by angry Democratic women, and I think that's going to hurt Republicans. Look, this is helping Republicans in red states like Tennessee and Montana, but this is hurting Republicans in states like Nevada and Arizona, where you have large suburban votes, and that's going to, the intensity there is not going to cut Republicans' way. Look, Republicans still have a very good shot at keeping the Senate. The House is still looking bad for Republicans.
I wanted to ask you that. We're on with Alex Castellanos, ABC News political analyst, joins us this week every time. I'm guessing you've done the math. What does it look like right now in the House?
I think it's going to look rough for Republicans. I would have said a few weeks ago that Republicans could lose 40 to 50 seats. Now I think they're going to lose the House, but maybe only by 10, 15, maybe 20. But I think it's going to be much better. A bad situation is going to be a little better.
Alex, how do you think this big New York Times story that the Beltway's been touting about the Trump family tax evasion, how is that really playing with voters?
Gee, Donald Trump plays fast and loose with money like he does everything else. Shocking news, breaking news, CNN. No, no one cares. I think people care more about their own paychecks, which seem to be doing better than whatever Donald Trump did.
Yeah, you know, I have a friend that we were talking about that time story. He said, geez, I want to hire Donald Trump's accountants. Who wants to pay their taxes?
Exactly. Nobody loves the IRS. Nobody loves Washington. Nobody loves government. Nobody wants to pay for it.
Okay, so let's say the Democrats take over the House. Does that mean the Ways and Means Committee, which will now be run by Democrats, does that mean they subpoena the president's tax returns?
They'll subpoena the president's tax returns. That means Jerry Nadler from New York, who will run Judiciary, will open investigations against Kavanaugh, maybe try to get him impeached. So impeach Trump, impeach Kavanaugh, chaotic hearings on anything that walks, talks, or crawls in Washington. The first 2 years of the Trump administration will be forever known as the calm years.
Well, this will be fun. This sounds like it'll be exciting then.
Great for the newspaper business. Great for radio.
It's true. Hey, one last question, Alex, for you. When I see the protesters and I see these strident feminists going crazy, literally clawing at the door of the Supreme Court, it puts me in mind of the old silent majority that elected Richard Nixon. Do you think there's a wide group of voters out there who are just appalled by that kind of behavior?
I think so. I think there's a, you know, the Supreme Court was the last respected institution in government, and those days are gone. Now it is a place where you play politics just like everything else. It has crumbled the respect and stature that it had, and I don't think we can ever unscramble that egg.
All right. Alex Castellanos, ABC News political analyst, joins us every Tuesday at this time. It's going to be a fun fall, Alex.
All right, Alex.
Good to, lot to watch.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks,
and
Alex.
You know, I guess most people are saying the Senate cannot be flipped, but
no.
If that were to happen, that would be
crazy
town. Crazy town.
I think the Democrats, that smear campaign against Kavanaugh backfired in many ways. In many ways.
Hey, Eddie and Patterson wanted to weigh in. We were talking about the tragic limo accident upstate, and you're a driver yourself, Eddie?
Yes, I am. I am. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Eddie.
Natalie told me to make it quick. So I just wanted to mention, and Riddle is not going to like this, because Republicans are always advocating for businesses regulating themselves, you know, self-regulation. And, well, it doesn't work. in this case, if this company had been properly regulated and this driver had been properly vetted, this could have been prevented.
Yeah, make
so
a good
more regulation is good. Yeah. In many cases.
Well, we don't want things not regulated entirely. I agree with you, though, Eddie. They've got to look into these limo drivers and these crazy limousines that they're constructing.
Thanks, Eddie.
Out of control.
Appreciate it. So. Well, he's right. Obviously, you need that regulated damn sure.
All right, coming up next. Yay. Guess who's going on tour? Crooked Coffin Hillary and Slick Willie are coming to a theater near you. God help us.
What?
And don't miss your chance to win $1,000, which is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's get the traffic. Pretty vital.
From the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Oh, this is great. I got your Christmas gift all picked out. What are you doing next April the 11th, Michael Riedel?
I don't have any plans. I'm looking forward to a gift.
Yeah, are you getting a gift? Are you going to go to the Beacon Theater? Oh, I just have to decide what I want to spend for a ticket.
Wait, I love the Beacon Theater. Yeah. Well, who's playing?
Tickets range anywhere from $70 to $699.
Oh, well, I hope you spring for a top ticket. But who's on the bill?
Playing?
Who's playing?
Yeah. That would be Bill and Hillary.
What? No.
Yes.
You mean Crooked Hillary and Slick Willie are coming to the Beacon Theater?
They are. They're going on a national tour. It's going to start in Vegas on November the 18th, and it's going to go to places like Toronto, Montreal, Sugar Land, Texas. It'll be the Beacon Theater in April the 11th, and wraps up at the Forum in Inglewood, California. But do you want to hear about this?
Do you know how money-grubbing and disgusting these two are? Can you imagine Laura Bush and her husband going on a money-grubbing tour?
George,
yes. Yeah. How about Michelle and Barack Obama? They're not doing this kind of
nonsense.
They're
doing a Netflix special. Hey, no, but listen to what you get. Here's the ticket. You'll be very excited. Quote, attendees we'll have the opportunity to hear one-of-a-kind conversations with the two leaders as they tell their stories from some of the most impactful moments in modern history, from the American presidency to the halls of the Senate and State Department to one of the United States' most controversial and unpredictable presidential elections. They provide a unique perspective on the past and remarkable insight into where we go from here.
I hope they reenact the time she threw the lamp at him.
Well, they're going to, you know.
Remember that?
You may hear a lot of this.
just a mummified version.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. She was in Mansfield College. This is over in merry old England. And once again. So listen, you may get to see real-life coughing in
person. It's going to be like $100 a cough that you go see them. Can you believe them? Don't you find this distasteful? They have $120 million already. How much more money do they need to shake out?
This is called a free enterprise, Michael. Mm-hmm. Really, you have a problem with that? They're also going to visit Philadelphia, Detroit, Washington, D.C., the Opera House in Boston.
Ugh.
Wow. Tickets go on sale at 10 o'clock on Friday. Gee, I wonder if you can get through. It's going to be tough. I'll try to get. What are we doing at 10 o'clock Friday? Oh, we just got off the air. That's what we'll do.
Oh, you're going to go buy me
a ticket.
You know, if you bought me a seat.
You get the $70 ticket is what you get.
That's it? So yeah. I'm going to be way up in the nosebleed seats where the poor people are, as Dame Edna used to call them. Paupers.
Who called them that?
Dame Edna. She'd wave up to the people on the balcony. She'd say, hello, paupers.
Well, the Beacon Theater, 3,000 people? Is that what it fits?
Yeah, I've been there. They do the Tonys there sometimes.
So that's a small arena, so you'll have a good seat.
Oh, please. Yeah. I'm not going anywhere near those money-grubbing crooks.
Stormy apologized.
For what?
Yeah, apparently she was on a talk show in Australia, and she apologized for...
For what?
Well, what she said about the president's anatomy.
Body shaming.
Body shit. Thank you, Natalie. Well, I was going to get there, but she jumped the gun here on me.
Why is she?
Well, he wrote that quote in her book.
She's got
which I'm sure you read.
Yeah.
He knows he has an unusual penis. She wrote.
Oh,
it has a huge mushroom head like a toadstool. And
Len, I don't need this in the morning. Come on, I don't need this in the afternoon. I don't ever need this description of the president's.
Oh, let's talk about Kavanaugh's credentials. That would be exciting radio. Hey, but she apologized, as Natalie said. She said she shouldn't have done it for body shaming purposes. And then she was on CNN last night, and guess who she ran into at the airport?
Oh, I heard this, Michael Cohen.
Michael Cohen.
We just passed each other in LaGuardia the other night.
Yeah, we had a drink at the bar.
I saw him, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's Michael Cohen. And he passed within like 3 feet of me. And, you know, I was with, you know, my bodyguards and my tour manager and stuff. And we were like, hi. He turned around and he goes, hey, guys, and smiled at us. And I was, it was very strange.
It was very strange.
She had bodyguards or booby guards?
For her tour, her book tour, I guess.
She has bodyguards. She has bodyguards. Managers. This is not just some two-bit stripper we're talking about here.
No, she's a class act there, Len. Oh, yeah.
There's a better tour going on.
What?
Did you hear about the mixtape tour?
No.
No. See, now, you're not going to like this as much as I do, but all these bands from the 80s are getting together and going on a tour around the country called the Mixtape Tour, which is a big thing that
like
we used
who?
To do as a kid.
Who?
New Kids on the Block, Salt-N-Pepa, Debbie Gibson, Tiffany. I mean, it's going to be awesome.
How about Brandy?
Yeah, maybe.
Good.
How about Madonna? She's from the 80s.
Nah, that she was too high up there.
Oh, so this is like the third
no,
and fourth
these
tier.
Are like
the,
what the these kids are the were listening to. This is going to be fun.
You would go to that. You would go to that, right, Natalie?
I might.
Yeah?
If I had a bunch of girlfriends to go with, I think I might.
The mixtape tour.
Oh, Tony, our engineer, is coming with me. There we go.
I'm going
I
to
got
see,
a date.
I'm going to see Glenda Jackson in King Lear.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. Fun times.
I'm going with Natalie and Tony. That sounds even better.
Bartlett's going to Slick Willie and Crooked Hillary's tour.
Yeah, right.
By the way, we do have a preview of the tour. Exactly. Time for the latest news headlines. A big good morning to you, Joe Bartlett.
All righty, Len. President Trump with a primetime apology for the Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, swore in Kavanaugh in a ceremony at the White House and then apologized for how he was treated.
Those who step forward to serve our country deserve a fair and dignified evaluation, not a campaign of political and personal destruction based on lies and deception.
The president apologized on behalf of the nation for the terrible pain and suffering the Kavanaugh family was forced to endure. Why was Scott Linesichia driving that limo that crashed upstate, killing 20 people, did not have the proper license to be behind the wheel? NTSB investigator Robert Sumwalt says they are now looking into his background.
We are certainly interested in any driver medical fitness issues that may be there. We don't know if there are, but we will be looking into that. We'll be looking to see if fatigue may have been an issue. The toxicology results.
New York Post reports Linesichia was busted twice on drug charges in the past 8 years. President Trump, responding to Taylor Swift after the singer endorsed a Democrat, Phil Bredesen, in the Tennessee Senate race. Swift says she's been reluctant to make political endorsements, but says the Republican Senator Barbara Blackburn's voting record terrifies her. The president was asked about it and said he likes her music 25% less now.
25%, not 50,
25.
Not 37.
It's only worth 25%. Yeah. Two people arrested after a violent home invasion in Brooklyn. A man and woman allegedly broke into this home on Madison Place in Marine Park. They attacked a retired NYPD officer. He was slashed. His wife, 71 years old, was tied up and sexually assaulted. License plate reader caught the suspects going through the Hugh Carey Tunnel. They were arrested. A third suspect is still on the loose. Governor Phil Murphy announcing the results of a New Jersey transit audit today. The railroad's been plagued by delays and cancellations. This report expected to include horror stories about what commuters go through and potentially offer ideas on how to fix things. Well, this isn't the driving lesson that some teenagers in Suffolk County were expecting. Lila Matamba and another teenager had to call 911 on their driving instructor, this guy Russell Cohen. He was drunk.
The guy giving them the test?
Mabanta says yes. She knew something was wrong right away.
He was saying he loved women and then called Sarah and I beautiful. So he was just really like unprofessional and inappropriate the whole time.
Why was Kavanaugh driving the car?
What do you? Oh, come on. That is so cheap.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That is so cheap.
I had the wrong
cheap.
Story.
That is so cheap.
Yeah. Joe's looking at the script saying, well, I didn't say Kavanaugh.
No, he's just.
I didn't look at Kavanaugh.
He is appalled at what you just said.
You should apologize. That was an.
No, the president apologized for the nation.
He apologized so for people like
me.
You.
Yeah. So was this a driving test or just taking a driving class?
Driving class.
Driving class.
Instructor. She says the guy began speeding, but they said, hey, we want something to eat. So they pulled over at McDonald's. They got out and called 911.
Wow.
This guy took off, but was eventually arrested. Aggravated DWI charges and endangering the welfare of a child.
That's not a good
deal.
Scary.
That's no way.
You don't want him being the instructor.
Well,
hey, thank you, Joey. When we get back, we're going to head live to the scene. That horrendous limo crash. We're going to get the latest. And we got another chance for you to win $1,000. That's coming up at 8:30. 805.
Hey, my friends, I want to give you a chance to win tickets to see The Band's Visit, this year's Tony Award winner for Best Musical, and you're going to see it with yours truly. And after the show, I'm going to be having an exclusive interview with a member of the cast on the stage of The Band's Visit. This musical rejoices in the way music makes us laugh, makes us cry, and ultimately brings us together. I just love The Band's Visit, one of my favorite shows on Broadway right now. Now, for a chance to win and join me at the first ever Matinee with Michael, go to 710WOR.com/contest. But you have to enter before this Friday. Friday is the deadline, so go to 710WOR.com/contest.
Matinees with Michael.
It's a nice little ring to it. I like it. Yeah.
Can I come? No. Right. Traffic time. Here's Bernie Byer.
Hey, good morning, everybody. We were just talking about Crooked Hillary and Slick Willie's speaking tour, and I got
an
email.
Is there any way to refer to a former president, a secretary of state?
Blue dress, missing emails.
Okay, just got
an email from a listener.
Yes, you get emails.
He emails me at my New York Post address. He said, "Bill and Hillary's appearances reminds him of the time when the world's tallest man used to make paid appearances at A&P supermarkets."
Well, why are they emailing you at the Post? You can email Michael and me directly and privately right here at 710WOR.com/LennonMike. You don't have to email at that rinky-dink paper you work
Ken for. Always emails me at the Post. He's a fan of my column and a fan of my appearances.
Really?
On the radio. And by the way, speaking of appearances, yes, Len, if you happen to be in the neighborhood on Fifth Avenue around 14th Street, I'm going to be on a panel at the Solomon Gundy Club tonight.
Who is Solomon Gundy?
He was a patron of the arts. He bought a lot of paintings. This is a club that a lot of artists belong to, painters belong to.
You're at some snooty club? What are you doing
here? I am speaking on a panel about the future of arts journalism. Doesn't that sound exciting?
Who else is on this panel?
I don't know. I don't know. All right. Hey, let's check in now with Mark Remillard, ABC News correspondent. He's up in Schenectady, New York, to get the latest on the limo crash that killed 20 people. Good morning, Mark. Are you there, Mark?
Yes.
Hello. Can you hear me? We got you now. Yeah.
Mark,
hey, good morning.
What's the latest on the driver and the car, the limo?
Yeah, we've learned a lot over the last 24 hours, particularly about the driver. Authorities have confirmed that this driver in this wreck was not properly licensed for this type of vehicle in the state of New York. If you've got a vehicle that can seat more than 15 people, you essentially need the same kind of license as you would to drive a bus. And we understand that the limo driver had a commercial driver's license, but not the kind that would allow him to drive this vehicle, which I believe could seat 19 people. We know that there were 17 passengers aboard. So that's the first thing that we've learned about the driver. The secondary thing is that as for the company, we understand that the company's undergone several inspections over the last 2 years and has an 80% of the time they've had to pull vehicles for some kind of issue. At least according to Governor Cuomo, he has said that this vehicle was not supposed to be on the roadway, that it was inspected recently and failed that inspection. The attorney for the company, we are now hearing from him, he refutes that. He says that the vehicle was safe for the roadway and passed the inspection. So
really? There's
a little bit of a back and forth here, and I think the facts will eventually, suss out who's in the right here and whether the vehicle was supposed to be on the road or not. But nevertheless, the authorities yesterday were asked about this, whether the vehicle was properly maintained, etc. They said either way, the driver was not properly licensed, and so therefore this should not have been on the road, and he should not have been driving it.
Hey, Mark, is there any way this company can survive? I mean, I got to imagine they're going to be hit with multiple lawsuits, and I can't see them surviving this.
Well, you know, I think that just remains to be seen. That's a good question. Certainly, if they're, I think it may come out first. Find out what the cause of the accident is, because the vehicle may have had issues, and if that played a role in the crash, then certainly you might anticipate that the company could be in some hot water. But there may have been other factors. It could have been operator error, and then you would have to wonder whether or not the company is also responsible for its driver and who they employed. So that's another question there. But the NTSB says they're looking at a lot of different things. The roadway, was there a roadway issue? Is there an issue with this intersection, which we know does have a history of crashes? Or so are those factors that played into this? But certainly that's part of the investigation, and authorities haven't said whether or not they're pursuing anything criminal yet. The investigation is ongoing, but they said certainly if they find some kind of criminal activity that they need to pursue, they will. But that may not stop, you know, members of the family members and things like that from pursuing this company as well. So that remains to be seen.
On the phone was ABC News correspondent Mark Remillard. Mark, give us a sense of this, the vigil, and now soon the funerals will begin.
Yeah, certainly the funerals at some point will occur. We had a vigil here in Amsterdam, New York last night. Thousands of people showed up. And so you can feel that from Schoharie, which is about 30 minutes away from Amsterdam where the vigil was, you know, there's a lot of people who are mourning in this community up here in upstate New York.
What was the story I saw come out about the owner of the limo was an FBI informant or something? What was the background on that story?
We've understood that the owner of the limousine company, he is in Pakistan, and that he had actually worked for the State Motor Vehicle Division at one point and had been arrested for helping immigrants cheat on driver's tests, and then he became an FBI informant and testified in two separate terrorism cases. And so there's a history here that's certainly being looked at. Whether that plays a role in this crash, you know, it remains to be seen.
All right. ABC News correspondent Mark Remillard, thanks for bringing us up to date, Mark.
All right. You know, some of that vigil that he referred to and you referred to, that was last night in Amsterdam.
You know, they've become angels in our eyes, in Jesus' eyes, and I'm really hurt.
My heart breaks as I think of all the lives that never will be the same. It gives me hope to see us all here with strength and selflessness.
My hope to those that have unimaginable pain is to rely on your faith, your family, your friends, and your community. I wish I had the words to take away what has occurred. And I don't.
I can't even imagine. I mean, you know,
well, how about the idea of 20 funerals in that small town?
Yeah.
20 funerals are coming up?
There's so many stories here. The four sisters, the young bride and groom, the two innocent bystanders that were just standing off to the side when this limousine came crashing at them. Just story after story of heartbreak. And I don't know. I just don't know what to say. Just the words fail me on this.
Tough times for that town. All right. When we come back, Taylor Swift is swinging left and her fans are not happy. Plus, you want $1,000? Well, your next chance to win it is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's get the traffic from Murray Biden.
710 WOR.
Oh, here's a funny email from a listener, Michael.
Yes.
Subject line is your partner's hypocrisy. They send it to me. I don't know why. Daniel thinks you're a hypocrite. He said,
over what?
Said, you praise tax fraud Trump for saving money on his taxes, and 2 minute later you bash the Clintons as being greedy for their speaking tour.
Yeah, I don't see the hypocrisy.
He says, keep doing your thing, Len. Thanks, Dan.
What is your thing? I haven't figured that out. I've been here 6 months and I can't figure out what your thing is.
Well, that makes two of us. So what about Taylor Swift? Now, here's someone who has spent an entire... This was like in the sports world. You've heard of Michael Jordan, right? The basketball player?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he and both Tiger Woods, a couple of people who were criticized over the years for being non-political. They say, well, you should take stances. You should say what you think on issues. Well, Taylor Swift was one of these people. Never, ever, ever said anything political. And now she's come out in favor of a couple of Democrats running in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And this has turned into a major hoo-ha. A lot of her fans are very unhappy. The president of the United States. Well, I think he showed remarkable restraint here.
I'm sure Taylor Swift has nothing or doesn't know anything about her. And let's say that I like Taylor's music about 25% less now, okay?
Just 25%, huh?
Well, Taylor's fans, I would think, tend to be Republicans for the most part. But
yeah, I don't know. You know. How would you figure that? But maybe you're right.
Well, there were some unfair criticisms of her at one point, you know, saying that she was kind of represented the crazy, crazy white wing supremacist types who liked her.
Really?
Yeah, some of them were big fans of her. There was an issue a few years ago about this, but it was unfair to her. But, you know, I mean, she's not on top anymore, so she's looking to expand her fan base by appealing to women who dislike the president.
Well, listen to a couple of these things on Twitter. I was reading this in the Daily News this morning. Someone tweeted, very simply, if you buy Taylor Swift music, merchandise, and concert tickets, you'll be sending money to a progressive who is working to destroy your country. Boycott Taylor Swift. And another one tweeted, hey, Taylor Swift, not going to buy another song by you. You do not represent country values. You have sold out to the liberal Hollywood crowd. Enjoy their company.
Well, you know what? She's doing something. She's in the news now, and that's something she was not in before. Nobody was paying any attention to Taylor Swift
until now. Yeah.
So it's all just a cynical ploy to sell tickets to her tour.
Really? That's what you're thinking?
Yeah.
This is just she has no interest in politics. She just wants to sell tickies.
Why now? I don't know.
I don't know.
Do I really care about Taylor Swift? Not particularly. I'm not going to go see one of her concerts.
Well, I didn't think you would.
I'm going to Crooked Hillary.
Really?
And Slick Willie at the Beacon. Reckless. We'll take this way too far.
It'll leave you breathless. Or with the next. I like her. I think she's good.
She's okay. It's bubblegum pop, teeny bopper music. Okay, fine. Not interested. Yep. Billy Bush, remember him?
I do know, but I worked with Billy.
You like him?
I did like Billy.
I thought he was a giggling moron, if you ask me.
He was not a giggling moron.
A twit.
Really?
He's a twit.
Let's summarize. You don't like kids. You don't like animals.
And
you don't like
Billy Bush.
Music and Taylor Swift. You don't like Democrats. You don't like Billy Bush. Do you like anything? You're just like a newspaper curmudgeon who hates everything. Everyone and everything.
Well, here's Billy Bush. He's still waiting for President Trump to be held accountable for that leaked Access Hollywood tape. He's gone to Twitter saying that he's apologized for it. But his life has been terrible. He has anxiety attacks, fits of rage, feelings of betrayal and abandonment, and terrible things can happen to anyone at any moment. He says, but on the positive side, I feel grateful to know adversity as intimately as I do and to have developed more empathy, humility, and resilience. Still not going to get him a job.
Well, but do you think he should be penalized as much as he has been for being part of that old tape that was you? He's saying why
hasn't he should be penalized for just being a giggling twin. I never understood the appeal of Billy Bush.
He's wondering why no one from NBC has been held accountable. He's not happy that the president has gone on to, you know, all kinds of greatness, and he's been left behind because he happened to giggle on the bus.
Well, he's also not too crazy about the whole activist media, the activist social media. He says that let's stop tolerating this escalating war on flaws and the obliteration of people for the things we all do. It's fueled by an activist media, an anti-social media, and it's barbaric. We are humans and thus fallible. Let's take better care of each other.
Oh, now, God. He did this on social media, I believe on his Instagram page.
Okay. Billy Bush.
A wrestling spandex outfit.
Well, he was wearing an odd outfit.
What was that about?
He's got to do porn now to make a living.
It was so strange.
It was gay wrestling
it
porn.
Was it? We'll put up the picture.
You want to put up Billy Bush in his spandex?
Well, that was an odd picture.
I just wondered if that was part of his message. I couldn't figure it out. There has to be a reason.
Seems like a permanent punishment for him. And in a way, you know, I think he served his sentence.
He
should get off of parole.
He should have taken a page out of the Trump playbook and said, so what? Big deal. Go forward. Instead, he folded. He got all upset. He tried to be sympathetic, tried to be sad. He tried to be remorseful. He thought the liberal media, the cocoon he lives in, would forgive him, but they didn't.
All I can say is, I think he should be able to go back to work. Really?
What was that comment again, Lynn?
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. Michael, you're putting him
most pithy thing I thought of today. Right?
You're putting him in jail forever.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't have any use for a little Billy old Bush.
Okay.
Do you ever say anything nice about anything other than some of your Broadway cronies that you have lunch with?
Well, I didn't know Billy Bush as intimately as you did. Apparently,
I didn't know intimately, but I worked with
your big pal.
Oh yeah, we have Cuba Gooding.
I like Cuba Gooding Jr. a lot.
He's coming on with us.
He's great.
Yeah, 8:40, right? And then we have Dr. Oz at 9:05.
Yes, and Billy Bush at...
Hope you're nice to these people. Because
of course I'm going to be nice to
them. You've been on a run today. You've been nasty to Hillary and Bill, you know, people.
I'm nasty to the people who aren't around to speak back to me. That's how I do it, Len.
So, you're a phony. So
exactly.
When they're here, you're nice to their face.
Exactly, you got it.
Two-faced riddler, that's what you are. Hey, coming up next, we're heading to the White House. ABC correspondent Karen Travers on the president's apology and more. It's 8 o'clock.